So we dropped all of our prices because we're trying to create community here instead of just try to make money. I always said that when I was in real estate, that if we took care of our community first, the money would come. And
They
that's
would take care of us.
exactly. And that's what we're trying to do here. So on our Fansly now, we have it opened up pretty wide for about $100. You can see every pay-per-view that we have available opened right there. We're also dropping the prices of all our pay-per-views across the board. So instead of $30 a pop, they're going to be $20 a pop. We know the economy is struggling right now, but we also just really want to increase the amount of people that can see our content and possibly join in. So if you think that might be you, check it out, virginitysnatchers.com. Please support us and leave a comment, like it, share it, tell your family about it, and we'll see you there. Common Confidential. Sometimes when you think about luxury, you think about like the bed sheets or the mattress that you're on. You don't necessarily think about the towels that you're going to use to clean up with afterwards. And that is probably my favorite thing about what we received from Common Confidential is these little cum rags. Y'all, it seems silly, but they are absolutely amazing. I mean, let's not get it twisted. The blanket they gave us is awesome too. Steph and I rolled around on it immediately. And the body butter that they gave us, I mean, it works for penetration too, which, right up our alley. But still, the six washcloths, that is what I think about most often and what I try to keep clean. Because if I'm going to clean up, I'd much rather clean up with that than with a paper towel. I know it's silly, but y'all go check it out yourself, commonconfidential.com, and then use our discount code AwkwardPillowTalk. Get some for yourself. You're going to thank me later. So, part of the awkward is let's have a little talk about hygiene. The Summer's Eve products, you always walk down. I used to walk down and be like, what flavor would I like my vagina to be this month?
Right, like the flavor of the month.
But then I realized my favorite flavor of vagina is actually not Summer's Eve. Or spring blossom. It's vagina.
Yeah, that's just straight up. That's the way it is.
And when we got a sample of this healthy hoo-hoo, that was my first concern was what is this going to smell like?
I was like,
Because
uh-oh.
I'm pretty content with the way things are smelling. And it smelled like nothing.
Yeah, it was very odorless.
Completely odorless. And you've used it before and after play sessions, which is what you're supposed to do.
Right.
Helps balance the pH. And I've actually been able to use it a few times on myself too, because pH balance is not just for you.
Yeah.
Works for me as well. So if you're interested in giving something a go that's not going to take away that natural,
Flavor.
then you may want to check out Healthy Hoo Hoo and use our discount code STEPHANIECLASSX and get yourself.
You're listening to the Awkward Pillow Talk podcast. I'm your host, Jason Klass, along with my wife, OnlyFans model and self-proclaimed awkward chick, Stephanie Klass. We're here to get the awkward stuff out of the way. This podcast is a true representation of our journey through anxiety and learning to love sex. If any of that offends you, we'd like to say, fuck you.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Awkward Pillow Talk podcast. It's been a hell of a morning for us.
It's been
And
busy.
Thankfully, our guest was super flexible with us because we went on this long 2-hour journey to try to find flea medication,
Yeah,
which
not expecting.
we did not expect to have this morning. We were like, you know what? We're going to be responsible. We're going to go drop the kids off first thing.
And we're going to
And
be quick.
we're not even going to feed the animals. We're going to get right in the car and go over the bridge because if we wait any longer, we're not going to go. We're going to find some excuse not to go. And then it was a 2-hour trip.
Excursion.
So we are happy to be back home and talking to our guest,
Yeah.
Brianna, who is going to talk to us today about relationships. But Brianna, go ahead and introduce yourself because, like I said, I suck at introducing people and I don't want to do you wrong. So.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm Brianna Carey. I am a relationship and intimacy coach with 16 years of experience as a sexual health educator. So my husband and I, we do a lot of couples coaching, supporting couples and nurturing the relationship, strengthening communication, and enjoying more fulfilling intimacy. So,
Awesome. And like we said in the, you know, our little intro interview, Steph and I, we feel like have, you know, one of the stronger relationships that we know of. Right. I mean, everybody maybe says that about their own relationship,
right, but like we've
try
definitely
us.
Had
come
other
at
people...
us, put us to the test. We're ready.
We have had other people be like, wow, I wish like our relationship was as strong as like you guys, or like you, we could have that kind of communication. So like,
yeah. And
it's not like it's just us saying it. Like,
you said that you and your husband have a similar relationship. And obviously we think communication is probably the key, because we can tell each other anything. Like, she's right. Not going to judge me at this point. There's nothing I can tell her that, you know, a desire or a want that I have that she would all of a sudden just turn her back on me and be right. Like, nah, fuck you. See you later. So I think that's cool. But, you know, how is your relationship similar, I suppose? You said that yours is pretty strong. How do you measure strength in your relationship?
So very similar, kind of like what Stephanie was saying, too, is like we've had other people reflect back to us like, man, you guys is like, you guys got it down. Like, you figured this out. And we've been together for 18 years.
Oh, wow.
We've been married for 13. And, you know, we understand that, like, have we gone through our stuff? Absolutely. Like, but those have strengthened our relationship even more, and we learned how to navigate them over time. You know, relationships evolve. And I think one thing that we hear a lot is, you know, when couples are struggling, they're like, man, my partner's just not who they were when we started dating, or they're not the same person when we got married. And I'm like, they're not supposed to be, you know, and if they are, then like, I'm concerned about that too. And so, relationships take work. And I think we just don't talk about, one, we don't talk about sex. We don't talk about relationships. Like, we're not educated on how to have healthy relationships. We have one example mostly in our life, and that's our parents. And we either say like, I want that, or I don't want that.
Yeah.
And so it's just being aware of like, how do we want our relationship to look? Because every relationship is going to be different. And so it's just, yeah, we've worked on it.
Yeah.
We've done a lot of work.
We've been talking a lot too about just mindfully, like being mindful in what we're thinking, what we're doing, and how we're interacting with our partner. Because you can obviously go on autopilot, especially when everybody's got their hormones all worked up and stuff. You're just going to let your mood take over, and whatever comes out is what comes out.
Yeah.
But being able to mindfully be like, hey, no, this person's the most important person to me.
Their
happiness, their life goals, anything they want to do is equally important to me. And any action that I do could compromise that or make them feel some sort of way. And I don't want to do that. Like, one thing that we get attacked pretty frequently online, because we're obviously sex workers as well, doing, you know, adult industry stuff. People are like, oh, you obviously have no respect for your wife. And I'm like, yeah, no, quite the opposite, man. Like, I'm the opposite, dude. I was the one that was like, hey, let's just, how far you want to take this? Oh, now we're OnlyFans porn stars? Cool.
You know, cool.
Like, that's where she wanted to take it. That's where she wanted to go. So that's where we went. Yeah. You know, it wasn't me like being like, hey, you know, let's push, this. I was in real estate. I was doing fine, you know,
life's good.
But ethically, we just couldn't handle that, like,
stress
anymore. We're like, you know, I'd much rather actually fuck people than do it behind the table.
Behind their backs.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that's a very common misconception, is that people in an alternative relationship, they are just, they're unfulfilled in their relationship and they're looking for something else. And that's not true. Like you said, they're usually the ones that have the most solid communication, because it has to be very, you know, you're very consensual and you're communicating constantly, checking in. So yeah, it makes perfect sense that you guys have a very solid relationship, because your communication has to be on point.
Right.
And
we
talked about one of our favorite rock stars ever is Dave Grohl. And Dave Grohl, I'm sure you've heard too, as everybody else has just, you know, found out that he's having a baby with another woman.
Right.
And I personally, like, okay, of course, I'm a little upset. You know, he's a hero of mine. Everybody, you know, expects for their heroes to be perfect.
Right.
But to me, it's a lack of communication within the marriage, right? There's no way that his wife of however many years had no idea that this rock star was going out behind his back, right?
Right.
Everybody else seems to know it. There was a communication issue. Either Dave had needs that were not being met, and she was not able to do it, or Dave was not communicating appropriately. I'm sure there's dual negligence. I'm not giving it all to one or the other.
That's speculation.
But marriage is a partnership, and everybody is putting all this blame on Dave. Mm. And to me, I feel like there is dual negligence in this situation. In order for you to allow space for your spouse to feel like they need to cheat to get those external feelings, you know, as a spouse, I feel like you should say, hey, I see that my spouse needs
something,
whatever this is. How can I help provide this in a way that makes me comfortable and makes them feel fulfilled?
Right.
I would love to chime in here. This is something that we see a lot with couples we work with, because we do specialize in like the postpartum. So, you know, from birth to raising young kids, it's a question that comes up sometimes. She's like, well, I just don't want sex anymore. I'm not a sex, like, I'm done. I'm over it. Like, maybe he should go and just like get his knee. And I'm like, but that's not what it's about. Like, these experiences are to enhance your core partnership, not to replace because somebody's not getting a need fulfilled. That's not what this is. And I don't think that's actually what you want, you know?
Right.
And And so this is something that can come up a lot, a fear for women, especially, you know, like, I don't want sex. My partner's going to leave me if I don't give it to him. So then there's this resentment because they're not feeling sexual. They don't want to have sex, but they feel like they have to have sex. So their partner stays, and it can become a vicious cycle. And then the other part to that is we're kind of told that once you have kids, your kids come first. When really, like, you have to prioritize yourself, prioritize your relationship, and then your kids get the benefit of that solid relationship you have with your partner.
Absolutely. Yep.
And so it can be really challenging, again, especially when you have a lot of hormonal changes, when you haven't had good examples. We don't talk about this. And so, yes, that's definitely a thing that happens a lot, is needs are being unmet, but they're not able to communicate, hey, I'm really missing you. I, you know, would like to connect with you. It doesn't have to be sex. Can we do a massage? Can we do mutual masturbation? Can we put this on the calendar and just make sure we're connecting in some way?
Right.
And that can be huge.
And I think the connecting word that you're using is a good way of saying it too, because there's definitely times, I mean, we have two kids, you know, we've been through all the hormonal changes and all that kind of shit where, you know, I've just got to let it go. And I can tell you're stressed too, and you need to let it go. And we're fine just laying next to each other and rubbing one out. You know what I mean? We're next to each other. We're in the same space.
Right.
And we're sharing that moment, you know, and it's fine. And our way of always staying, like, we're always touching each other.
Right.
And it's just always, we always find something to do. And I think our friends and family are probably annoyed with us, because, like, literally the second we sit down, I'm grabbing her feet, she's grabbing my feet. It's just what we do.
Right.
Like, if I'm
just
stressed,
like a subtle, like, rubbing.
If I'm stressed out or I can't, like,
focus,
I'm like, touch me, like, she is my ground. I just have a hand on me, rub me, bring me back to earth, and that's my connection. I need that. So if she was to, like, break off and be like, I can't touch you, I don't want to be near you, that would fuck up my whole day, everything. You know? So I get it,
and I totally get the, like, you know, everyone says to put your kids first, but, like, we from day one knew that we were gonna put our relationship first. And, like, maybe some people find that unethical, but, like,
I always tell this story too, because like, it's weird when you think about it, like, I, from an outsider that doesn't have the background of, like, sexuality, relationships or whatever, her dad had been married 3 times.
Right.
So before we got married, I remember hearing the conversation. I was at the top of the stairs and you were on the couch downstairs with your dad. And he was like, look, this is an uncomfortable conversation, but sex needs to be, like, the forefront of your relationship. It is so important. He goes, that's why my marriage did not last. You know, intimacy was gone.
Right.
You need to make it a priority. Even when you have kids, you can't just be like, no, sex is out. So it didn't take us long, but, like, basically after our second child, we got a biometric lock for our bedroom door.
Yeah.
So that our room is our room.
Right.
You know, her mom can't go in and clean, which she did one time and just absolutely, just total violation.
Yeah.
And the kids can't come in, right? And we actually have it set up now to where even our cats can get into the room and the kids can't, because we put a hole in our ceiling so they can, like, jump up
there
and get in.
How fun.
And that way they can come in and out as they want, but the kids still can't.
Wow.
We just feel like it's important to have that space
right.
to where... sacred space for your...
Yeah. We can have whatever the hell we want in here, right? I don't have to put things away and be like, oh, do I got to worry about a kid seeing that? No, I got a picture of my wife's tits right up on the wall. You know, that's what inspires me. That's what makes me happy. I wake up every morning and I'm thankful for her. You know, look at that. Fantastic. My kids can't see it, though. And they'll never see it because they don't come in the room. It's not their business.
And like every once in a while, they'll be like, oh, you know, I wish we could come in your room.
Well, the cat went in there. Yeah, I obviously can't go get it now. Ah, no, yes, you can't. Sorry.
But I'm like, you know, we need our own space. It's like you have your own room, just like we have our own room.
Yeah.
And like, that's just the way it is.
Some parents look at us like we're crazy, though, when we say that. And we tell everybody. Like, I have no problem. Like, we have got a biometric lock on our door. Our kids don't get in.
Yeah.
And our kids will actually tell that to their friends, too.
Right, like, their friends will come over. They're giving them, like, the tour of the house. And they're like, oh, and here's our parents' room. You're not allowed in there. We've never been in. And then they're like, okay, moving on. And we're like, I don't think the kids needed to know that. But, like, okay, cool. Like, yeah. And then they all, like, all it's the other kids are always like, oh, that's weird. I'm allowed in my parents' room. And they're just like, yeah, no, we're not allowed in. And then that's just that. And we're like, yeah.
Yeah. Just and that's okay. Yeah. And I think we have been conditioned for so long, especially I think, like, our millennial generation was really, like, where it kind of started, like, putting the kids first and, like, getting in all of the extracurriculars and everything like that. And even just the core family dynamics aren't there anymore. Like, you have one parent with this kid at one event and one parent with this kid. And it's like, why are we not coming together?
We are consistently the only parents together at every single event. We are there every day at pickup. We are there every morning at drop off. We are there at every event. And we are the only pair of parents, but we're also the ones that people give shit to and be like, oh, well, that's because they never work.
Right.
Like, y'all have no idea how hard we work, first off. We're just not going to advertise it in the school fucking parking lot.
Right. And, like, technically, our kids could come home on their own. And, like, but they, you know, we're like, you know, we might as well.
We like our kids. Like,
we'll
go pick
you up.
They're
like,
talented children. They're smart. We want to be around them, you know?
Yeah.
So, like,
well, and
why?
I think that that's a testament to how good your relationship is with each other and how your children, like, how well they're doing, right, too, because they get the it's an energetic, like, they kids can tell when shit's not right with their parents.
For
you
sure.
know, like, oh, even yeah. though they're, like, going through it and they're good business partners together, they can run the house, they can do all these things and delegate whatnot, but if the connection is not there, kids feel that, and they can feel the depth that you guys have and the connection you have, and so that just means that they're doing so much better.
And we always try to be not, like, intimate around them, but, like, you know, touchy and stuff, because we want to make sure that I actually had this conversation with my 8-year-old daughter the other day. She asked me to come help her wash her hair. And I was like, yeah, baby, of course. And you come wash her hair. And I, you know, do the whole, like, way too hard, you know, scrubbing thing. And she's like, oh, this is awesome. And she goes, Dad, why do you always come wash my hair? So I was like, I love you, baby. I want to take care of you. You know, that's what I do for you. It's what I do for mom. And I was like, and I want to make sure that when you are old enough and you start dating somebody, you realize that another man needs to respect you just as much as I respect you.
Yes.
And you don't accept anything less than that. I was like, this is not something abnormal that I'm doing. This is something that you should expect from somebody that wants
standard.
To be with you.
Yeah.
And I was like, I realize you're little right now, but you know what I'm saying. She goes, well, maybe I'll just marry you then. I was like, that ain't going to happen. Your mom got dibs on it. You can fight her.
She will.
She will.
Yeah, that's so good, though. It's so important to be that example and to let them know that, like, they see it's, it, and to verbalize it. Yeah,
the verbalizing was something that we did not get a lot of.
Right.
I think maybe it was the generational thing. You know, our parents certainly did not feel comfortable talking about mental health. They did not feel comfortable talking about personal relationships or sex. And now this generation is just fucking struggling to be like, am I allowed to? Is this okay?
I mean,
you know,
literally the whole premise of our podcast was because, like, I grew up so sheltered and, like, I literally knew nothing about sex. And I mean, and here I am, but, like, it's wild.
Figured it out.
But yeah. I mean, but it's just one of those things where, like, I had one conversation with my mom. That was it. And then it was like, I was just supposed to, like, navigate the rest. And I'm, like, clueless. And so it's like, it's tough. And so it's one of those things where we want to be able to talk about it because it is the awkward.
That is something that has come up a lot recently, too, though, is parents asking us, like, how would you have the conversation with your kids,
like,
about it?
Your kids are going to be so
because,
ashamed.
Like, you guys, what you do. I was like, first off, my kids are going to see my relationship and be like, my parents like each other way more than your parents like each other.
Right.
Look, they're still together too, you know? And it's also by the time they get to the point to where they would actually be able to find out, because obviously we have full control over their internet and all that kind of stuff, like any good parent should, they will understand that, hey, this was what gave us the ability to be there for you. You know, we changed our career path so that, you know, obviously we didn't put you first. We put our relationship first, but
they don't know that.
They don't know that, you know, and our career path changed so that we could be around each other. And in turn, we could be there for you because
you were working like 60-hour weeks. You were gone all the time. Like anytime we would go out to go do something, it was like,
I couldn't be with the family.
Right. Or like we would go to do something like as a, you know, family. And then you would always just be like almost on call, like in, where you'd have to be like, I got to go. And you're like,
kind
all
of
right,
not
see you later.
Fully present. You're like half checked out because you need to.
Mm-hmm. And so, but now it's like we can.
I leave my phone at home now. It's awesome. You know, I just leave my phone and be like, okay, it's going to charge and I'll go and just be present on the bike ride. You know what I mean?
Go get the seats.
And I didn't realize how much stress it was causing me, obviously, beforehand, because it's just the world I was living in. And when you're making, you know.
And that's what's the norm.
Yeah. Right. When you're making the money, you're like, well, hey, we're surviving, so I must be doing okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but let me just keep going. Let me just keep doing it. Like, because that's what you're told to do. So it's, you know, I don't know. It's an adjustment, but. I don't know.
Yeah,
but it certainly makes life a lot easier when everybody's communicating and everybody's understanding. I can't imagine having to go through some of this shit that people go through with a spouse that is constantly at war with them.
Right.
Yeah. If she didn't trust me in my decisions for things, that would make life a lot harder.
Yeah. Yes. Well, there's a whole other conversation we could get about like masculine and feminine energies and how that works in relationships and how, again, mostly like, you know, some Gen X and millennials, like we were, you know, conditioned to believe like, you know, hustle culture, boss babe, Miss Independent Woman. I don't need no man. I do it all myself. And so they've been carrying this masculine energy for far too long. They're burnt out and exhausted and angry and resentful. They don't understand why they are. And if they're holding the masculine energy in their relationship, then you can't have both. So then their partner, if male, right, is now taking a step back and taking more of a feminine energy and kind of like, and that does not work for sexual energy. Right. Like that is a libido killer. So there's like a lot about that too.
That's interesting. I never thought, I mean, obviously I knew about like the gender roles and that kind of stuff, but you don't think of it like when the power shifts, how that could affect the sexuality in the relationship, because it's probably almost kind of the same thing, right? You have when two lesbians get together, they end up having the lesbian
power struggle,
death or whatever it's called. and it's I forget what the fuck it's called. It's something really like dark sounding, but basically, like they don't have sex anymore because the two women together just don't really like create that sort of like sexual.
They don't
energy.
Have the polarity.
Yes.
They need the polarity in the relationship, and it can be challenging.
Now,
and
don't anybody come back on me. I'm not a lesbian, so I don't have like any sort of like full like say on this. But
for sure, definitely that polarity is very needed, and we've lost that. And we see that being a big challenge in a lot of relationships, and how it's not to say like, submit to your husband and be, you know, his servant and do whatever he says. That's not what being in your feminine energy is. And so we have to rework that, and then getting the man to actually step up and lead more and embody.
Well, I think society's pretty much ruined that for a lot of guys too, though, right? Like we can't go up and we can't hit on women anymore without being worried about sexual
toxic masculinity
I can't do anything. Like I'm on the side of things now where I'm too awkward to hit on people.
Right.
So I wait until women come up to me and they're like, hey, can I have sex with you on camera? I'm like, yeah, I'd love to. Let's do
You're
it.
Like, yeah, that's great.
But like, I don't want to hit on them. Cause I'm like, I don't want to like come at them. Like what if their boyfriend gets upset? Everybody gets jealous over me. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, he's a porn star. He's, you know, like
trying to hit on my girl.
I love my wife. I have no desire to be, you know, but I would like to make the money that comes from it. Right. And I think she would too.
Yeah.
But I just don't approach anymore. We just wait because it has become so much drama. Even yesterday, we approached a creator yesterday. We're trying to make friends. Just in general. She found this girl that played Pokemon Go. She's a big old dork. She plays Pokemon Go on her phone all the time. And she's like almost top of the top level.
Right.
So this other girl who's a creator who's newer, her whole thing was like Pokemon Go. And she was like, oh, you know, I'll reach out because she's newer, but you know, I'll be nice. Well, that girl had a higher ranking than us on this site because we had just joined
it. Started within the last two weeks.
We're taking off because we have 4 years worth of friggin' content
that we're just like, we're grinding
not,
out.
We're not new at this, right?
Yeah.
She responds back and she's like, basically like, unless you're going to like fuck my husband's 10-inch cock.
No, it wasn't even
my business partner's 10-inch cock. I want to collab. And we're like, oh, well, let's back up. Hey, how about we just be friends first? Let's get to know each other. Would you like to come on our podcast? We can get to know you a little bit. And she goes, you didn't respond to my question.
And I was like, okay.
This is not like, yeah.
We didn't respond to it because, like, first off, we didn't want to just be like, no, we don't want to have sex with you because it's awkward. Who comes out and just does that first off?
Yeah. And she was like, and it looks like you're new. Are you even top 10%?
She goes, are you even top 10%? I'm top 0.02.
Oh.
I'm like, okay.
I go look at her Twitter. Her Twitter has nothing. I mean, we don't have a huge Twitter, but we got like 18,000 followers.
Like,
she has 1,000.
Humble yourself, sis. Like
exactly. Exactly.
We were literally trying to come in and help. Like, we didn't curse. And then she told me I had a small dick on top of it. She goes, I don't see any big dick. I'm like, all right. I mean, I wasn't even like, I wasn't like trying to like come out there and do that. But like, we're just trying to be nice.
Right. Yeah. I was like, I was just looking for friends. And she goes, well, that's not how you become.
Yeah.
She goes, that's not how you make friends. And I was like, well, how else are you supposed to do it?
Yeah.
Like, I have to have sex with you in order to be friends?
With
like,
your business partner, who we have no idea who that is. You have no commitment to them.
Right. Like, I don't even know what
your,
you
your
look
safety
like.
Is probably not top of their mind, which means that your safety is definitely not in mind.
Right.
For
at
sure.
least people that come and hang out with us, when we tell women, we say, hey, when you come, you're going to be safe.
Like,
we
your
give
safety
our,
is our number one
We give
one priority.
Our address. We give them all of our information. We say, hey, you reach out to your friends. You tell them where you're at because there's nothing sketchy
give
going
them
on
the
here.
Address.
Yes. Yeah.
Put that like share location on like tell everybody where you're going. So
because sex should be talked about. It should not be hidden. It shouldn't be in the shadows. Like, you don't have to go tell everybody, but for God's sake, the more like careful and secluded you are about it, that's when shit gets dangerous. That's when bad stuff happens.
That's I mean, and we've had people that have been like, oh yeah, no one has any idea where I am. I'm like, what are you doing? And she's like, oh yeah, no, they think I'm at a hotel.
Like,
and I'm
please text somebody, please.
Like, oh my God. Like, I mean, you're safe with us, but still, like,
you don't even have to tell them what you're doing, but you're like, hey, I met these friends, whatever.
Right.
Like, you don't have to tell them why you're meeting, but.
Right.
Oh my gosh. That's so scary.
It is.
It's very scary. Just
the common sense factors, like, gotten weeded out.
Yeah. It's wild.
I don't know. I mean, we've made mistakes before where we didn't, you know, meet the person, you know,
prior
out in public first. And then we're like, oh, you suck. Like, we did not like that.
Right.
So we try not to do that anymore.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know, the world's so fucking weird now.
Yeah, it is.
I don't even know
how
to
people don't know how
it.
To communicate. Like, actually talk to people. Like,
yeah.
We're dealing with another issue right now with non-sex related, but just our neighbors not communicating with us. And it turned into this whole blow-up situation where they're, like, now trying to take 2 feet of our property back just to spite us.
Oh.
Just...
And like, they're like spreading shit about us to the school. And I'm like, we didn't do anything. But mind you, we have a video of them freaking out, calling our daughter fucking weird, calling my wife fucking crazy, calling me delusional, and making fun of us for not owning our house because her dad owns
the house. Yeah, my dad owns the house. We're living in it, but like, who cares?
We've owned houses. Like, it's not a big deal. But like, I have that all on my Ring cam of them like going off and like yelling at us about it, right? And like, so part of their issue too was that my daughter was doing cartwheels in their yard and her underwear showed.
Supposedly.
And it made him feel uncomfortable.
The son. Who's the same age.
Who's the same age as my daughter. So they kicked her off the yard. So I've got the dad faking a cartwheel, showing his underwear to me, saying my daughter was doing this.
And it made him uncomfortable.
And he got down on all fours on his back.
You need to have a talk, like, why... There's a lot of red flags right there.
Right?
Yes.
And she infiltrates every group that we have at school. So,
like,
she tries to make new mom friends. And this mom will literally come up and, like, butt into the conversation and leave her out. Just
it
to
kicked
her
me
out.
Like, she'll like put her back to me.
And we brought it up. And we're like, why do you do that? And she goes, it's called communication.
It's being friendly. And I'm like, it's not very friendly of you to like kick me out of conversations.
If you don't include me and but you're interjecting yourself,
they don't even know that we have this
invited.
Video.
Yeah.
So we're like, wait, we're waiting for them to just cause enough of a stir to where we're finally like, okay,
you're
fine.
You're like, okay, here you go.
We're going to have like, to put this out and show everybody that we're not the douchebags. And by the way, this podcast that we have is like super revealing and super truthful. So like, if we're going to be truthful and tell you all this shit that we do, why would we lie about our neighbor?
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, which they don't know what it is that we do. We think.
We don't think.
We don't think they know.
It doesn't really matter.
It's like, I mean, yeah, it doesn't matter. Like, we'll still continue to do it. But, like, I feel like if they knew that would have come out.
But it's all communication. I feel like.
Back to the beginning.
We see that as a relationship communication issue with them.
Right. Yeah.
It's the wife. We can see it from the outside because we communicate so well. But the wife just flies off the handle. And then the husband has to play cleanup.
Right.
Yes.
There was no name calling until the wife got involved. Right.
Interesting.
And I never name called the entire time because I know I'm a salesman and I know that the second you go into that kind of stuff, you've lost the sale. You've lost the argument.
So
I just let them go off the handle. It was fun. But
no, you have to, and it's like sometimes you can just say, like, are you doing okay? You know?
I
like,
should have, yeah.
I did. Like, I actually, that's what blew them off too because like, I was like,
What's going on?
Is everything okay?
Yeah.
And they're like, you guys just got fucking weird.
You're living in a fucking delusional world.
Yeah.
Wow. It is. It does. It comes back to like, she's probably, they have stuff going on in their relationship or in something. And this is, they can't talk about it or they're not feeling heard and they're lashing out on others.
Now, I don't allow her to speculate, but I will speculate for a moment here. Just between you and I.
Not me. Okay, I'm not included in this one.
So she went over in a two-piece bikini one time. Yes. And apparently, even though we're in Florida, that's like a no-no for moms to go on a play date, apparently. Because when she went over, all the other moms were in one-pieces. And she was in a very modest two-piece.
Very modest. Like, I have way worse.
After that, the husband got sent inside, didn't see him the rest of the day, and we didn't talk to him after that. Now, they claim... That it was our daughter showing her underwear in the front yard. I think that's bullshit because my daughter's 6 years old.
At the time.
Yeah. I think it's the wife got jealous of my wife being in a two-piece in front of her husband.
And how dare she?
And didn't know how to communicate it properly because you used to talk to him.
And again, that's her insecurities coming out, projecting onto someone else because she doesn't feel comfortable like she can do that.
Yep.
That's on her. That's her.
It sucks, man. And it's like, we can't be any nicer. We can't prove ourselves anymore. And we tried to ignore them. And they keep coming after us now. It's like a bully. Yeah. So it's like, everybody's like, you just got to ignore them. You just got to ignore them. But
like we did.
Man, at some point you can't, you know?
Yeah, at some point it is going to have to be like more like, this is what's,
It's a mess.
It's really.
But I just thought I brought that up because I'm thinking communication wise, we can see it through other couples.
Right.
When they don't communicate right, other shit hits the fan.
Right.
Everything else gets out of order. If that base couple isn't there, then.
Right. Like, the whole equilibrium is thrown off on the relationship. And then by proxy, everything else just kind of doesn't match. So.
Yeah. Well, and they'll say it's about this thing, but really it's about this core thing that they're just kind of like. Pushed off to the side. We're not going to talk about it. Like everything's fine. But then they nitpick and like blow up every other little thing because they're not dealing with the main source.
Exactly.
Yep.
It has to be what it is.
We keep looking for solutions. We posted a thread on Reddit about it. The am I the asshole? And just being like, hey, here's the details. And everybody's like, you are not the asshole.
There are like so many red flags.
Everybody's like, release the video. I'm like, I'm really not probably going to because I don't want to ruin their lives because I'm not a terrible person.
Right.
And I know that the things he said would ruin his life.
Right. And our kids still have to go to school.
That's shitty for me that I now have to internalize that and keep it to myself because what he said would ruin his life.
Right.
Yeah. And like, isn't that life though? Like, you made a choice. You said things that now you have consequences.
Right.
you know? Yeah,
gotta think before you speak.
We tell our kids all the time, words are powerful and you cannot take them back.
Right.
And so, yeah, back to the communication with, you know, within a relationship, it's if you're feeling activated in a moment where the tension is high and you feel like lashing out, because again, that's probably what was modeled to you in your home. Like, have a plan in place. I saw this thing the other day that says, like, when we feel something has escalated too much, we go and put on a party hat. And that's our signal because it's so silly. It's just like,
no, but I mean,
one person, when they are feeling supercharged, they go put on the party hat. That's a sign to their other, to their partner, like, hey, I'm at capacity right now. Then they go put it on and then they just sit on the floor or lay on the floor and just look at each other in this silly party hat. And it helps to bring down the tension. And it doesn't mean you have to talk right then. Or you can put that on. You guys acknowledge each other and say, okay, I'm going to go for my walk now. And go walk for 10 minutes. Get outside. Get yourself grounded. Listen to some music. And then agree on when to come back to have the conversation.
Yep. I mean, that's kind of like what we – well, not like with a party hat, but like – yeah. Well, like if
– go ahead. Not yet.
Yeah, not yet. But maybe now. But no, like if something's going on and I'm getting frustrated with like the kids or whatever, life in general, I'll be like, I'm tapping out, you're in. Like, and like he will then, you know, be like,
we do a really good job of covering for each other, which I don't think my parents necessarily had at all.
Mine didn't.
My dad was just not, did not have to do anything.
Right.
And he worked, came home. That was, you know,
that was it.
That was it. Meanwhile, I'm like, I feel like I'm Mr. Mom, but I'm fine with it because like my kids love me.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they like
I mean, they drive me
than,
fucking nuts, obviously.
They like him more than me.
Nuts.
So, you know, like.
Yeah. Well, but, and again, you're modeling to them that like there's not these gender roles that, you know, a man can also do the dishes and do laundry. And
it doesn't demasculate or, you know,
like
emasculate.
I go out and mow the lawn while you're making dinner. And I'm like, and that's fine because that's just what we both.
I'm better at making the food. I mean, I'm better at mowing the lawn too, if we're being honest, but.
But if she enjoys it, then that's fine too. But she does. This is also something that comes up a lot is, you know, the default parent and how they're always doing all of the things, but they're not asking for support or saying, hey, I'm really overwhelmed. Can we go ahead and divide some of these roles, you know? Yep. And then you split that up and communicate about it.
And I think a lot of guys don't know what their role is supposed to be. And like, for me, I will sit back sometimes, like in the mornings, especially when she's going like fucking hog wild. I don't want to be involved in that shit. I'm going to sit down and read the emails, figure out what we got to do. And she gets it together every morning.
I do.
Me helping, but, you know, is like, not going to make the situation go better. It's not going to go
faster.
And
if I do need help, I'll be like, hey.
Hey, can you get a shoe on? Can you tie a shoe? Can you brush your hair? And I'll be like, yep, got it. And I jump out and I go get it done.
But like, I will come in like when I like truly do need something, be like, this is what I need done.
And I stop what I'm doing and I, it's my priority. I know it's my priority in the morning is to help
her.
Like,
you wait
but I also need to stay the fuck out of the way or else I'm going to yell that too.
Yeah.
Mornings are stressful.
Yeah. But you
want to go too slow.
That's how you can come in and support, you know, each other. And I think a lot of, you know, women tend to, you know, be a little bit more passive aggressive, like, nope, it's fine. I've got everything. Instead of being like, gosh, I'm like, and they're like, well, I don't want to have to ask, but I'm like, but they're not a mind reader.
And I've told her that straight up. Like, look, you have to tell me what I need to help with because I'm ADHD as fuck, which I've mentioned 17 fucking times already. But like, I will try to help you. I'm not trying to be mean.
Right.
Yeah.
I just got distracted because I had three other people that need things from me at the same time.
Right.
Yeah. And I got pulled into that direction. Just remind me. Oh, yeah, my bad, babe. Yeah, which reminds me, I got to give you a screenshot still that you've asked me to do 17 times.
Yeah. That's all right. Yeah. But no, like, I wouldn't say that I was passive aggressive in the beginning, but like, I had to mindfully, like, realize what I was doing and being like, no, it's fine. I don't need your help.
And know that I was not being like a dick in trying to avoid her. I just didn't know what to do.
Right. Yeah. And so like, we've gotten that communication now where it's like, hey, I've got to do X, Y, and Z. Can you help with one of them or whatever? And then be like, okay, I'm going to go do this. When I'm done with this, I'm going to go to this. When you're done with this, you can go to like, and so it's like, we delegate the tasks and like, communicate, be like, which one do you want to do? Because I'm fine with any of it. Just, I need help.
We also, we each take one kid and put them to bed at night.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We each have that responsibility. That way it's not like, it's quick. You know what I mean? We say goodnight to the other kid, but like, it doesn't have to be a whole production with both of us going in. Mm-hmm. And we switch kids. It's whoever, whatever kid gets ready first is usually mine. But
yeah, that's usually yours.
I mean, it works for us. And it seems silly maybe, but like, it's one less thing that we have to think about, one less thing that we have to argue about, because it's become routine.
Right.
Yes.
And it's just, there's no reason to change it, you know?
Right. The kids are used to it. We're used to it, and we're like, it works. So,
and
it's
works for you.
Right. It's like, what's that one saying? If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Exactly.
So it's like, leave it alone. So.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. We're very similar.
Okay. I like that.
Kid and,
That's awesome.
They've been a little crazy lately, but we're, you know, I feel like everybody, I feel like the whole world's going a little crazy lately.
Yeah.
There's too much shit going on right now.
We've got the eclipse portal that's been the past 2 weeks, and it has been wild. So today is the last solar eclipse of this.
Is that what it is?
I believe you, because the last 2 weeks have been the shittiest 2 weeks of my life.
Yeah. That must be what it is.
You may have just
dropped the hurricane on top of that. Like,
you may have just dropped the best news I've heard this
week. I say, maybe
I don't know what the hell is going on, but I am exhausted.
Jeez. Yeah. I mean, but the hurricane didn't help either. So
no, this is just one thing after another, man. It's just, you always, every time I turn on the news, I don't want to turn the news on.
I don't want to look.
We'll just focus on ourselves. Let's just
like put those blinders on and just keep Live going, because I don't want to know what else. I mean, I know I need to know what's going on in the world, but like, I'm at capacity. Like,
so tell me a little bit about what it is that you offer to people, how people can get a hold of you. Part of our whole thing here is Steph's anxiety.
Yes, I had.
And
crazy
one thing
anxiety.
That I always like to mention is, if somebody reaches out to you, how will you get back in touch with them? Because if you just call Steph on the phone, you're going to be ignored forever. She will never answer. Phone calls are a no-go. So we just need a clear path forward on how you're going to message people so that they know what to expect from you.
Yes, that's perfect. So Instagram DM is typically how we have conversations. But you can also email us too. So on our website, intimacyevolution.com, you can find us there. What else did you ask?
You're not going to call them, right? You're not going to force them to be
Well, let's set up a phone conversation.
I also don't like the phone. I like voice notes. I like to voice note people, but and that way people can listen. I like to hear, you know, the tone of voice and stuff. But yeah, DMs are cool.
That works.
Yeah, that was our big thing. Is I'd always be like, hey, this is something we should try. You just need to call. And she'd be like, well, it's dead to me now.
Then we're
done. I'm never going to do it. So, move on, find something else. So
So that we make sure that we put your information down. We'll have it at the bottom of the podcast, and make sure that people know how to reach out to you as well.
I mean, my husband is a licensed professional counselor, and he has been doing that for 15 years. And so that's, I think, what the beautiful dynamic is between us and how we support couples, is they actually get both partners represented.
That's awesome.
With the coaching work that we do. And so I have the sexual education piece. He has the therapy piece, but we don't do therapy. So coaching is very different than therapy.
Yep.
And we've done a lot of work with couples that have been in alternative relationships and things like that as well. So we're very familiar, very versed. And
well, let me ask you this then before cutting you off. So a question we get asked often is, you want to talk to your spouse about swinging.
Mm.
What's your first step? How do you break that conversation up?
Yeah.
How would you approach that to a guy that's like, I want to get into this so bad, and she just won't even listen to me about it?
Like, it's just an absolute no. So,
we like to recommend starting with like fantasy play first, kind of like sharing a story or an idea or like easing into it. Yep. So, you know, if you've had a fantasy that you guys have talked about, like, go into that more, you know, feel into that. You know, as that develops, then it can be like, hey, like, I've been kind of thinking about this. Like, I think that I might actually like to maybe try something. What do you think? And again, do not do this in the moment when you're in the middle of having sex. This is something to have a conversation on the side, like when you're both hey, the thing we were talking about last night was really hot, and it got me kind of thinking, like, what would that be like in real life?
Okay.
And like we said earlier, just pause and don't try to fill the silence. Let them share when they're ready.
Okay.
And you can kind of navigate that conversation and don't push it. And just kind of be curious with it.
Be curious. Okay. I like that. Yeah, and I think that's
it's a good one.
That's one that we've been trying to push to people, is that you're allowed to be curious about things. Yeah. Without the fear of losing your relationship.
Right. Yes.
You have safety. Once you create that safety in your relationship, it's a bubble. Yes. And you guys are able to go out and you're able to try all kinds of cool things that could either make your relationship better, mm-hmm. or be something you guys laugh about. It should never be something that's going to destroy your relationship.
Right. You're like, okay, that wasn't for us.
But we've had so many experiences that other people would consider bad that we were able to laugh about because we experienced it together. And we're just like, what a shit show.
We're like, man.
Only us could that happen to.
Right. You're like, well, we could have crossed that one off that list because that was a mess. But one of those things where we do it together and, you know, like you said, it's something we can laugh about.
Part of how we got the name for this show is Awkward Pillow Talk is when we would talk, right? It would be, we're going to have this awkward conversation. We say pillow, but it was almost always in a shower.
Yeah, it's always in a
but
shower.
It just makes more sense for the name to say pillow talk. But that was where we had our uncomfortable conversations. It wasn't in the middle of sex. It wasn't in the middle of a bunch of hormonal stuff. It was literally, we're going through our morning routine. We're probably the most clear-headed that we're, going to be of the day.
Right.
And then we're having this conversation, this raw conversation. We're able to get each other's, real feelings from it. And you had a hard time giving real-time feedback on your feelings.
I have to sit on things and think.
Yeah.
But I usually bring it back up. And, it's one of those things where, if I bring it back up, that, means that, it's probably something I'm serious about versus, if I'm like, oh, I don't know, and then, just never bring it back up again, he's like, okay, we're going to drop that for now. But, I usually, if I bring something up, it's, something
she's
been
thinking about it, and there's okay, well, what if we did it this way? Okay, yeah, we can try it that way.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. And that just in general, understanding each other's like communication style. There's usually one that's I want to talk it out right now, and the other one's I need to reflect on this and I need to have some time to come back to it. So if you guys don't understand that about each other, that's where a lot of contention can happen because one's give me an answer. Do you not care about this? Why are you not having this conversation? They're whoa,
hold up.
And so understanding that and just be coming back. Okay. You know what? I'm going to sit on this for a minute. Again, I'm going to go for a walk or I'm going to finish this. Let's revisit this together at XYZ time.
Okay. Our decisions are a lot faster now because we know what each other's thinking.
Right.
But we've been practicing this so often.
I don't know.
It's a muscle memory with relationships, just with anything else. You just got to keep practicing it. And it always sounds silly when I talk to it about other people. Even my mom. I was talking to my mom yesterday, and she was giving me some complaints that she had. She's remarried. And I was like, look, these are certain things that you need to expect from your spouse.
Right.
And if he is not doing it, but he expects it from you, you need to have that conversation and say, hey, this goes both ways.
Right.
One of them was a medical procedure that her husband was pushing off. And I'm like, okay, if you had a medical procedure that needed to be done, he would force this on you, right? He would say, you have to get it done.
Go get it done.
Right.
It is your job to be the one that forces it on him.
Right.
Well, nobody else in his life is going to say, hey, this has to be done.
Right.
You got to do whatever you got to do to better him. Because your life is not going to be better until his life is better. You guys share it together.
Right. And, if something was to happen and he didn't get this done, again, her life's not going to get any better. His certainly wouldn't.
Quality of life might deteriorate. Right. And then so does the relationship.
Exactly. It's weird to have that conversation with my mom, who, obviously, just not somebody you expect to give relationship advice to. But when you're on the outside and you've been practicing it like we have, it just seems like a no-brainer, right? It's just like, well, why would your spouse do that? Why would they be spiteful for you? You guys are supposed to be a team. Are you not working together? Right.
100%.
It just, that kind of stuff just blows my mind. What's the point of being married to somebody and sharing your life with them if you're not going to fully embrace them and have them as like one of your like, basically part of yourself, you know?
Right. Yeah. Like you want the best for them. You expect that they want the best for you. And like, you have to be able to help achieve it, whether it's something you want to hear or not. So
I think that's the hard part. People are like, well, I don't want to hurt their feelings, or this is really hard to bring up. And it's like, but you need to.
Yep.
For the betterment of your relationship. Yeah.
Exactly.
We tend to bring up, like, if there's something that's like uncomfortable, we almost bring it up, I guess, in like a sarcastic or joking way at first, I think. Yeah. You know, just like
humor.
Why are we doing that? Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
That way it gives it a chance to be like, oh, I didn't mean to do that, or, you know. But it's still, I don't think we do that anymore.
No, I don't think we do that.
We're very,
we used to.
We're just very straightforward now. And it's turned that way into the rest of our life because we're just so tired of people misunderstanding us.
Right.
Yeah. Like, just because we're trying to be nice, you've misunderstood me, and now you're making me out to be a villain. And
their story in their head.
Yep.
And that's another, just I'll leave that with your listeners, is when you're in a situation where you're having some conflict, saying the story I'm telling myself is XYZ. Again, that's going to come at it as a kind of a curious, instead of like a putting them on the defense. Because like, when you said this, or I heard, you know, it's the story I'm telling myself is, when you don't do the dishes this way, you don't care about whatever. You know what I mean?
It's a nice soft way of putting it. I like that.
Yeah. So,
because it's like, hey, totally up to me to misunderstand this situation. Feel free to put me in my place.
Right, like I could be in my head about it.
If you would like to take responsibility for it, here's your chance.
Yeah, it creates the conversation. They're like, oh no, like I didn't mean to put the plates on top of on the top rack instead of the bottom rack. I'm so sorry. You know, like whatever it is. It can be so simple. And again, there's probably something else that's leading to that frustration with the dishes. But it's getting the ball rolling with that communication. So
yeah,
awesome. I like that. I say we leave it at that.
That's a good way to end it.
I really enjoyed talking to you today.
Thank you for having me.
I never know what I'm getting into with these guests, you know. And I'm just like, hey, well, let's just hit it and see what happens. And thank God it works almost every single time, because I'd feel bad if it didn't. But
but it does.
We will make sure that all your information is on the bottom of our podcast, and also make sure that everybody reaches out through Instagram if they want to get a hold of you.
Sure.
This video will probably be up within, I'd say, like 4 or 5 days.
Okay.
I don't have too much of a backlog right now, and I'll send it to you. I'll usually send it to you in an email, Google Drive or whatever. And then you can do whatever you want with it from there. Feel free to find us on socials as well. And that way we can tag you in any of these threads that come out.
And if there's any edits or anything.
Any edits you want done, you let me know. Anything can be edited at any time, even once it's been put out. So don't be like, oh, this came out, or I changed my Instagram, you know, handle. Can you fix this? Like, just let me know. I can do it.
Awesome.
Anything else? Awesome. Just hang tight after I hit stop on this so that it finishes uploading. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Make sure that you come back and listen to our next episodes. And we've also got this cool little fun series that we've got coming out called Awkward Sex History. They're just little 5-6 minute episodes of like some interesting historical figures doing weird shit that might make you feel better about yourself. But check it out, and check out the YouTube as well, virginitysnatchers.com or Awkward Talk. Thanks, everybody.